I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is a safe space. It's something different now, I got to tell you. I want to warn you if you've never tuned into the show before. This is a safe space here for independent thinkers. Allegiance to no party or politician. We really just kind of cut through the news and look at it from a small, limited market, limited government, free market perspective, which is very, very rare now and getting rarer, if that would be a word. Today's Friday. Next hour, we'll do our segments and take a look at some foreign policy stuff, some hot spots around the world, some pretty interesting things that are going on outside of our borders. And also a look back at the lunacy of the last week, and there is lots of that. We are living in a banana republic, after all. We got fake money, fake laws, fake news, fake statistics, and the only thing real in this country at this point right now is corruption. We've got real corruption. As I say, I believe the United States is slipping into a banana republic to some degree. But I'm going to get to... Go ahead and let you know. I'm going to issue another, I don't usually have to do this 2 days in a row, but I'm going to have to issue another trigger alert for all the snowflakes out there. Beware, there is rational, not emotional, but actual rational thought is about to follow in the next couple of segments here. So retreat to any safe space you might have if you want to continue to just react to everything emotionally. This is our hyper-politicized world. It is no black and white. It's everything is just red. I got a couple of quotes of the day to get into it, and I just love running across these quotes. I ran across these this morning. This is one from Nietzsche. It said, "And once you are awake, you shall remain awake eternally." And that is why I do this show, because there are a lot of things you can't unsee, that you can't unhear, that you can't unlearn. Now, I do know some people who have woken up and kind of seen through the system and then slipped back into it. They have gone right back into it. They forget what they've learned. But it's really very few. Most people who kind of wake up to the system and see exactly what's going on, they're forever distrustful and start to understand the game that's being played on all of us. So my goal here is always to wake you up. I've said I should have started the show calling myself the rooster. And then I love this one, because we're going to talk a little bit about the Constitution today. Don't worry, not dry and boring. It's all very topical and very sexy headlines we're going to get into, because there's a lot of talk about the First Amendment these days. A lot of talk about that. So in light of that, I have a quote here from James Madison. He's one of the guys that helped write the Constitution. I don't know. Maybe we don't pay attention to them anymore. Maybe they're passé. We got our new political class now that's so much smarter than the Founding Fathers. But at once upon a time, James Madison said, "Armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few." That might need to be a tagline for this show. Again, that's a founding father. James Madison says, "Armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few." I don't know how anyone cannot. This guy wrote this 200 and something years ago. And look at where we are now. "Armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few." As I say, there's 330 million of us. There's 537 Congress critters and President and Vice President in Washington, D.C., and somehow they rule the day. 330 million of us, 537 of them. We do what they say. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get into this today. If you want to call into the show, 601-879-0002. Got some interesting emails, a couple of good calls yesterday about this. We're going to talk about the Trump versus Twitter, and then we're going to move on to the riots that are going on right now in just a few minutes. But The Republicans got their pound of flesh yesterday from Twitter and the social media gang, so I wanted to congratulate everybody. Your life is so much better today. The future is so much more bright. I mean, I already feel happier and more prosperous because Twitter won't hurt my feelings anymore. And all it took was the executive pen. Now, the Federal Reserve is still piling trillions of dollars onto Wall Street as we speak, backed by you and your children and your grandchildren. And the Federal Reserve actually, you do know they're bailing out the blue states. You know, all these Democrat-run places that you talk about that, and I talk about too, that are just run into the ground and fiscally irresponsible and bankrupt. You do understand they're getting bailed out right now, don't you? Oh, you don't? Yeah, see, that's what's so funny to me is that people don't see the stuff behind the scenes. It's what I try to bring you on the show every day. Everybody thinks that you've heard Mitch McConnell say they're not going to bail out a bunch of states. They can declare bankruptcy. Yet at the same time, and Mitch McConnell knows this too. See, he's playing you. He knows right now blue states and blue cities are being bailed out right now by the Federal Reserve. And to understand this, you know, you have to learn a little something about the Federal Reserve. You have to know a little something about the bond market. You have to know what it means when the Federal Reserve says we are going to be buying municipal bonds. Anyway, this is happening. But we got our pound of flesh from Twitter, so everything's so much better. Now, I was kind of wondering while we're doing this, and I'm going to explain to you why I'm being so sarcastic about this, because I'm pretty stunned to watch Republicans support an attack on what is private property, First Amendment. And I'm going to make, you know, if you have your arguments, I'm going to go through what I believe are kind of the talking points that make people support this. Now, again, you didn't just tune into some radical leftist show. I voted for Donald Trump, was very enthusiastic with him heading into office, maintained that enthusiasm for about 6 months, pretty intense enthusiasm. Then I started to see a couple of warning signs, the Goldman Sachs takeover of his cabinet, the defense industry takeover of his cabinet. I started getting a little suspicious, but I was still kind of on the Trump train. I got to tell you, and Trump supporters, you think the election's a lock? I got to tell you, if Trump can turn me off so regularly now, and he lost Ann Coulter, those are not good signs. You can stay kind of high and mighty and yell at me and think that I'm the problem. But I got to tell you, this Twitter issue is kind of a big issue to me because it shows a level of hypocrisy on the right and people who consider themselves some level of constitutionalist, and I'll explain why in just a second. I don't know what else the executive order pen should be used for now. I mean, we should take down Hollywood, right? I mean, who likes Hollywood's left-leaning tilt? Not me. Can't stand it. Oh, have you heard some of the comments out of some of the movie stars out there? It really makes me uncomfortable. I think we should somehow take them down, hurt them. Mainstream media, I mean, they tick me off every day. Don't they tick you off? Professional sports. We've seen the social justice warrior aspect of professional sports over the last few years. You know, and in Hollywood, you know, you hear all the time of conservative actors and actresses who feel silenced out in Hollywood. I mean, I think it's time to attack them, to use the federal government to shut down Hollywood. Who else hurt our feelings? Now, I would love to see if this is a First Amendment issue, which is how this is being phrased on the right, which is head-scratching to me. If this is a First Amendment issue, it would be great for me, if you want to get me back on the Trump train, it'd be great to see Donald Trump use his executive order pen or just utter some words and stop the persecution of Julian Assange. See, Julian Assange actually has been trying to express his First Amendment rights of the freedom of the press to put out information that is concealed for people. It's what journalists used to do rather than what they do now, which is nothing even close to journalism. Julian Assange does that, and yet our government at this point attacks him. They're essentially trying to kill him in prison. So if this is a free speech issue and a First Amendment issue, wouldn't Julian Assange be one of the poster boys for that? Maybe Donald Trump could call off the dogs before Julian Assange is dead? Now, I want to do this because I want to explain it. I mean, I guess there's some explanation needed. And if you disagree, 601-879-0002, you can tell me where I'm wrong. This is a free speech issue, Mike. Trump is fighting for the First Amendment. Well, here's the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. What part of that did Twitter, a private company that runs a message board, what part of that did they violate? I'll wait. Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion, prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the rights of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Now look, I can't believe I'm having to come on this air and carry water for the social media companies, but see, there was a time, not that long ago, 6 weeks, that's how funny this stuff is to me. 6 weeks ago, conservatives and Republicans would have said these kinds of things, kind of like, you know, they would channel their inner founding fathers, and they'd say things like, I may disagree with what you have to say, but I'll fight to the death your right to say it. That's what constitutionalists and Republicans and conservatives would have said 6 weeks ago. Now they say, I disagree with you labeling a tweet with a fact check, and I want to destroy your company. I can't stand Twitter or Jack Dorsey or Facebook or Google. None of them. But I guess I'm the last person standing that will stand up for free speech and property rights, even though it's unpopular with me. I don't agree with 95% of what any of these companies or people do. Yet this is the time we're supposed to stand. This is when you're tested to see if you actually have an ideological purity to yourself. And what is almost comical to me, almost comical, is while I can read the First Amendment to you, and Twitter has broken none of these rules because they're a private company, and the First Amendment addresses Congress shall make no law. It addresses government actions. It protects us from the government, not the government from us. But what's so funny to me is that while this is going on and framed on the Republican side of things as a First Amendment issue, what was actually violated in the First Amendment just over the last 2 months? The government forbade peaceable assembly for the last 2 months. Did Trump pull out the mighty pen? Nope. He did not. How many tens of millions of people wanted to go to church over the last 2 months, and they were stopped by the government from doing that? And I'm reading the First Amendment, and it says, prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble. For the last 2 months, the American people have been forbidden by the government to both peaceably assemble and to practice their religion freely. Both obvious contradictions, obviously violations of the First Amendment. Where was Trump's executive order pen then? It seems to only have gotten warmed up when he got a couple of rebuttals. We're going to get into the censorship issue. Now, I got to tell you, I am frustrated on this topic because it is so sad to see the right, who's supposed to be this champion of founding fathers and the Bill of Rights. We know the Democrats shred the Constitution on a regular basis, so my only hope is the right. Conservatives, Republicans, you're supposed to love the Constitution. But now the Republicans only love the Constitution when convenient, when politically popular. You won't stand up for it if your guy is the one violating it. Now, I'm going to get into this because there are constitutional issues, and there's this idea that, well, Mike, they're censoring Donald Trump. Really? I'll explain that when I come back. Stay with me.
Coming to your town, If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
I'm going to do it again. I started out the show issuing a trigger alert for the snowflakes out there who, because I'm going after this executive order on Twitter pretty hard. Not because I like Twitter. Can't stand Twitter. Talked about it all day yesterday. You can go get the podcast if you want to understand where I'm coming from. Not a leftist. You know, it always aggravates me when I see the Democrats come out and talk about the Constitution. And sometimes with a straight face, they come out and they start talking about spending. You know, if Trump wants to spend some money on something, then suddenly the Democrats get this fiscal responsibility gene in them, and they come out and say, we can't waste money on this, whether it's the wall or whatever, you know, whatever Republicans or Trump wants to spend. Suddenly they say we can't afford it. And then Nancy Pelosi, with a straight face, advances a $3 trillion wish list bill. And Democrats don't see this, of course, because they're brainwashed. But it's true on both parties. As an observer, let me just tell you. If you disagree with me, I just implore you, take a step outside of yourself and the partisanship and take a look at it from an objective point of view. On the Twitter issue, there's a couple of things that come up. One is and somebody emailed me about this yesterday, it's a talking point on this thing that to support Trump's executive order. This is the removal of this, it was at 203 or 230 protection. I'm spacing on the numbers right now. It protects social media companies from liability. The idea is, this is what people think, I'm going to disagree with it, but maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. Maybe I am wrong. I'm always ready to admit it. The idea being that, well, see, what will happen is if they censor conservatives, they open themselves up to a lawsuit, that will make them less likely to censor conservatives, or at least they'll censor equally on both sides. Now, understand this protection, and I think I've got it here somewhere. I'll read to you what it says. Oh, and I've got a part of this thing. Oh, I've got a juicy little nugget from the executive order. If you haven't, have you read it? I didn't think so. Section 230 says that, quote, no provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as the publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information content provider. In other words, online intermediaries that host or republish speech are protected against a range of laws that might otherwise be used to hold them legally responsible for what others say and do. This is under review. The idea is everybody's on the right is very excited about stripping these social media companies of doing this. You think this will promote some level of fairness. Now, I ask you this. If you hosted a website that let everybody comment on it, a public forum. If you are in danger of any of those comments creating a lawsuit or a legal headache for you, are you more or less likely to put more comments on your site? Every single one of them is a potential lawsuit coming your way. Are you going to be more vigilant to make sure that you censor things that might cause you a problem because now you're exposed to liability? Or do you think now that, oh, well, they'll let everybody do everything. Now that online publishers, and again, I'm no fan of any of these social media things. I don't use them. I was smart enough to not use them. But if you suddenly have liability for it, you think they're going to allow more voices on these things? You think they're going to open themselves up to more liability? You're going to see comment sections, you're going to see message boards, you're going to see social media platforms gone. And for the public good, that's fine with me. I've been warning you against these things. I think it's turned us into a cauldron of hate. All these keyboard warriors screaming at each other. But it's not my decision. Because I don't like something doesn't mean that the someone who put a lot of time and energy into setting up a business in that space should be destroyed because, see, I'm not the king. I make a personal choice, and I just avoid them. Huh, so simple. Doesn't take any congressional act, doesn't take an executive order, nothing. I just don't use them. That used to be the way that conservatives and Republicans dealt with things. Now you want the big government to come in and save you from Twitter. Now, to get back to this idea, Mike, you don't understand. Twitter has been censoring the president of the United States. Really? Well, I mean, to me, words mean things. Do we want to deal? Again, I told you at the beginning of this, we're going to talk rationally and kind of precisely about this. If you want to just be in the emotion of it, which is, I feel the same disgust for Twitter and Facebook and Google as you do, perhaps more. I've talked about it for 3 years here. And the social media censorship of conservatives is real, of conservatives now. A lot of people have been deplatformed. They do shadow banning of conservative tweets. They will remove tweets from conservative people. They will remove conservative videos. They will also remove other health-related videos, I know. That is censorship. What they did to Donald Trump was not censorship. They did not attack Donald Trump's First Amendment rights. Here's the definition of a censor. An official who examines books, plays, news reports, motion pictures, radio and television programs, letters, cablegrams, etc., for the purpose of suppressing parts deemed objectionable on moral, political, military, or other grounds. Suppressing. To if you are censored, it means to delete a word or passage of text in one's capacity as a censor. Delete, remove, suppress. None of those things happened to Donald Trump. What did happen was Twitter put a warning label on it, or a rebuttal, or whatever you want to call it, a fact check. Believe me, I agree with you. It's stupid. Twitter is a left-leaning organization pretending to fact check when they're just pushing their own propaganda, but they're a private company. What am I supposed to do about that? You know what I do about it? I don't use Twitter. Trump's every word, syllable, period, and exclamation point that he wanted to appear on the Twitter platform appeared. He was not censored. And essentially, by Twitter putting up its ridiculous little fact check thing, it was essentially a rebuttal. Almost like two sides of a debate. Trump wasn't censored. He was challenged. That's called a debate. And every person who went to those Trump tweets that had the warning, or whatever you call it, the fact check button on it, had the ability to absorb every syllable that Donald Trump wanted them to absorb, and then they had the opportunity to absorb every syllable of whatever the link to the fact check on mail-in voting is. And look, I agree with Trump on the mail-in voting thing. Good Lord, that's rife for abuse and fraud. Absolutely. I don't disagree with him. I disagree with Twitter. But that doesn't mean I want to take him down. Use the government to do it. Now, I want to go ahead and say this, I guess. Just wondering how many of you have actually read the executive order. There was a juicy little nugget in there. Juicy, juicy little nugget. Here's Section 5. Here's Section 5 of Trump's executive order that he signed yesterday. The Section 5 revolves around state review of unfair or deceptive practices. Now, again, this is of a private company. Does anybody fact check government sources? No, of course not. Nope. Here it is. Section 5A, the Attorney General shall establish a working group regarding the potential enforcement of state statutes that prohibit online platforms from engaging in unfair and deceptive acts and practices. The working group shall invite state's attorneys general for discussion and consultation as appropriate and consistent with applicable law. Now, we're going to set up a whole bureaucracy around Twitter stuff and Facebook and YouTube. Knock yourself out if you want to. Another bureaucracy is always welcomed in Washington, D.C. This will create a lot of government jobs. The White House, this is Section B. I'm getting to the juicy nugget in just a second. Section B is the White House Office of Digital Strategy shall submit all complaints described in Section 4 B of this order to the working group consistent with applicable law. Now, here's the good part. Are you ready for this? Oh, I'm sure you already know about this. I know everybody who's weighing in on the executive order's already read it. Of course you have. Nobody would just take a side not knowing any of the facts. Here is part of Section 5, Part B. The working group shall also collect publicly available information regarding the following. I, Part 1, monitoring or creating watch lists of users based on their interactions with content or users. For example, likes, followers, time spent. Did you get that? This is in Trump's executive order. The working group shall also collect publicly available information regarding the following, monitoring or creating watch lists of users. Now, this isn't targeting Twitter. This isn't going after Jack Dorsey. This is you. Nice little watch list. This is the words used, watch list. Monitoring or creating watch lists of users based on their interactions with content of users. For example, likes, follows, and time spent. And, if that's not enough for you, here's part two of that. Monitoring users based on their activity off the platform. Well, isn't that special? I mean, I got to tell you, I'm excited. I may get on social media now just to crank up another government dossier on me. I mean, illegal bogus dossier shouldn't be just for the Trump administration during the Obamagate. They're compiling a dossier on you right now from the executive order. They're gonna put you, if you're on social media, they're going to put you into a little watch list. Yeah, keep a little eye on you. I'm sure it's just to keep you safe because they love you. Let me just say these again. This is Section 5 of the executive order, Part B. The working group shall also collect publicly available information regarding the following. Monitoring or creating watch lists of users based on their interactions with contents or users. They're going to track your likes, they're going to track your follows, and they're going to track how much time you spend on social media. Because, of course, that's the government's business, right? And if that's not enough, they are going to monitor users based on their activity off of the platform. You log out of Twitter? Oh, they're still following you. Log out of Facebook, still checking you out, watching that web browsing history. That kind of made me mad. I didn't like that. It's weird, though. The right seems perfectly fine with this. Conservatives and constitutionalists are all on board with a new track and trace system through social media. Well, you got your pound of flesh out of Twitter. You really put them in their place. You put yourself on a watch list to do it, but congratulations.
Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care. But
all right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I am going to issue now an unprecedented third trigger alert. This is not stuff that the majority of people can handle. I got to tell you, it's a whole lot of facts. It's not so much. I mean, I say it's not emotion. I'm pretty angry about this. I think it's really sad to see what's happening right now. Absolutely sad to see that the party that I thought actually paid attention to the Constitution, really don't care. Because as long as the target of government action is your enemy, you're fine with it. And that's misses the entire point. I got a couple more points to make this. I do want to get to this situation in Minneapolis. Time today is kind of weird because of my segments, but I may make some adjustments to do that. But I got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good this morning.
Good.
I do enjoy your show. I just wanted to comment on what you were saying about the executive order.
Yeah, what you think?
Well, what I think is what he said there was already publicly accessible. So what I think they're looking at is what information is Facebook and Twitter collecting on you, and how are they using it?
Oh, we already know that for sure. I mean, they're selling it. I mean, you are the reason you've got a free Twitter account, free Facebook account, free Gmail account is that you are the product. They're monetizing all kinds of things about us and selling it to advertisers and God knows who else. But with this executive order, it is directing the government to compile watch lists of users of these platforms. So we know the private companies, look, if you sign up for one of these services, you agree to their terms of service, and buried in all that legalese is nasty little language about basically you allow them to spy on you and sell your information. Everybody agrees to it because nobody really cares anymore. But this is the government saying they are going to compile watch lists of users. The government.
I took it to mean that they want to look at the watch lists that have already been compiled and see just how they're being used.
Let me get back to the language of it. Let's read through it together. Boy, I hope
I'll listen to your comment on that, but I wanted to point out down at the bottom in the definitions, they also include search engines, and I was happy to see that. I have searched on Google and not found what I was looking for until I went and used a different search engine.
Right. You're exactly right. I actually think Google's the worst player in all of this with their suppression. I mean, there's such a big difference between censorship. And one thing I'm upset about now is that everybody's rallying around Trump. They say he was censored. He was not. He was rebutted by one of his tweets, and it was disgusting. I don't like it. I don't agree with Twitter and what they say. I more agree with the Donald Trump's tweet. But he wasn't censored. But there is a big tech censorship across the board. But like you just made such a fantastic point. You said you couldn't find what you were looking for on Google, so you went to another search engine. And that's what people should be doing in mass. If you were on the right, get off of Twitter. Lead the charge to another platform. If you don't like Google because Google's suppressing information, go to that other search engine that you're using and get off of Google. That's the solution.
I agree.
Yeah.
But it's good talking to you.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate those points. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I've heard this argument too on this. Mike, you don't understand. This is about making for a level playing field. Let me explain to you. Nobody's guaranteed a private company gives you a level playing field. I really wanted to play basketball. I really liked basketball coming up. Unfortunately, I was horizontally challenged. I do not have any access to a level playing field in the NBA to make my career as an NBA star. It's just not going to happen. A private business does not have to offer you a level playing field. I don't care how big they are. Is it unfair? Yes, it's unfair. That's why I say march, exodus, hashtag walk away. But to use the government is so disingenuous for the right who believes that the government is the problem. Ronald Reagan said the government's not the solution, it's the problem. We've gone from that to Trump gets a couple of fact checks on his tweets, and we're ready to toss the First Amendment and abuse a private company. I don't care that you don't like them. I don't either. But if you don't stand up for the unpopular people in the First Amendment, then the First Amendment is completely null and void. And I got to tell you, again, I issued my trigger alert, so I'm going to say this again. Does nobody find it the slightest bit interesting that conservatives have been censored, truly censored, like deplatformed, demonetized, results hidden. For 3 years under Donald Trump, the executive pen never came out. And I wouldn't have encouraged it then either, because still these companies are private. But nothing happened then. But just within a couple of days of Trump getting, not censored, but rebutted on Twitter, the pen comes out. Is anybody at all just a little uneasy with the idea that tens of millions of people wanted to attend churches and synagogues for the last 6 weeks and were forbidden by the federal government? That is a absolute 100% violation of the First Amendment. I don't care if they say the words health emergency around it. The Constitution does not allow for that. They stopped you from worshiping as you please in direct violation of the First Amendment. Trump's pen didn't come out. They stopped you from peaceably assembling, a direct assault on the First Amendment. For 2 months, people were locked in your homes. You were put in a soft martial law. Did Trump's pen come out? No. It came out when he got two fact-check little lines under two of his tweets. That feels pretty self-serving to me. And dead wrong. He wasn't censored. If he doesn't like Twitter, and he made a comment yesterday that I actually agree with some of them, and he says, you know, I wouldn't want to use Twitter if the media would be fair to me. I get that. I think it's actually a pretty good point. But he doesn't have a right to use Twitter. He doesn't have some claim on that, as neither do I and neither do you. You know who calls the shots at Twitter? Twitter. And they do a terrible job calling the shots. I can't stand them. They're so blatantly left-wing bias that it's almost like we shouldn't use them. That apparently is not an option for anybody. Like I said yesterday, we've become a nation of little children who, when our feelings get hurt, on the right and the left, we scream, Mom! And by Mom, I mean Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam! Twitter hurt my feelings! We need the federal government to fight our battles for us. It doesn't matter what it is. Let me see if I had... Oh, yeah, I've got one other point. I tell you what, I got to take a break, but I'm gonna come back with one more point. And I'm going to issue... I mean, this is getting serious. I'm going to do trigger alert number 4 when I come back, because this is really going to cause some people some uncomfortable feelings. Stay with me. All
night with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
All right, I'm probably gonna breach protocol here on my show segments, and we're gonna talk about Minneapolis at the top of next hour instead of my usual segment. But I'm gonna finish up on this executive order mess from where I view it. A couple of things I want people to consider, and again, I'm going to issue a fourth trigger alert. This could cause some uncomfortable feelings. Do you remember the case of the bakery who didn't want to make a cake for the gay wedding? Remember that? Now, what you're telling Twitter is that Twitter has to accept everybody. Now, they're a private business. You were saying that they are forced to provide a platform for everybody, regardless what they're saying, and they cannot even rebut it, which is what they did with Donald Trump by putting that stupid little fact check thing on there. Now, they're a private business. Does that mean that bakery now cannot discriminate? They have to bake that cake. See, I did not think the bakery needed to bake the cake. Besides the fact it was just a social justice warrior stunt, my mind is... That's a private business. They can bake one cake a year if they want to. They can turn down 99% of the people that come in there wanting a cake. It's their business. It's a private industry. Nobody has a right to their cakes. Well, I got to tell you, nobody has a right to be on Twitter. And you can twist that all the way you want. Yeah, but it's so big and nobody can compete. Hogwash. I want to use a different word there, but I am constrained. I am censored by the FCC. So consider that as you foist, even though you hate Twitter. See, this is what the left wanted to do. The left hated the bakery, so they wanted to force them to bake a cake because they didn't agree with the religious stance of that bakery. And now we just see it switched right back around. Now the right is willing to use the same tactics the left used on that poor bakery that they tried to force to make a cake for a gay wedding. Now you're trying to use the same tactics to go after your enemy, which is Twitter and social media. And I hate these social media companies. One other point I wanted to bring up. How many of you out there have a 401k? Raise your hand. How many of you have enjoyed the increase in value in your investment portfolio, 401k, IRA, whatever you got? Have your stocks gone up over the last few weeks? Last couple of months? It's been quite astounding to watch. It's amazing what printing $10 trillion will get the stock market. Anyway, if you have enjoyed those gains, let me tell you where they came from. The stocks that have led the run-up in the stock market returns are what are commonly known as the FANG stocks. Are you familiar with what the FANG stocks are? That's Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, and, you got it, Google. I don't know what Twitter stock's been doing, but these big Silicon Valley left-wing companies have been leading the stock market higher. And the concentration of returns in those stocks has been overwhelming. Most of the, like Russell 2000, you know, your mid-sized businesses, they haven't been doing very well. So if you've seen an appreciation in your stock portfolio, you're actually an investor in these same companies that you think it's so cute to go after. So I encourage you to divest now. Check your 401k. I know most people don't know. I was a financial advisor. You have no idea what's in your portfolio. But boy, it's paying you handsomely. Kind of neat. Kind of a neat trick. You get to castigate a private company, try to destroy him with one hand, and enjoy the gains on the other side. Sounds like a politician to me. That's right. We're all fat and happy when we're making money on them. We're all fat and happy when Google gives us the search results we want. We're all fat and happy when we can scream at somebody on Twitter. We're all fat and happy that we can subscribe to Trump's and Trump gets 16,000 free messages across this platform. But if they do anything, it's time to take them down. I got to tell you, this issue is so ripe with hypocrisy on the right. It is stunning that more people don't see it, and they don't. I have kind of scoured the web, listened to conservatives across the board. They do not see any of this. So maybe I'm the one that's wrong. I don't know what else I can do. I read you. Actually, Section 5 of the executive order that creates a new dossier on you and actually spies on you even when you're off the platform. I read you the meaning of censorship. I read you the definitions of Section 203. I think I've kind of dealt with the facts. And I think the rest of the conservative movement right now is just dealing in the emotion. You've found a target you want to take down. First Amendment be damned. You're going to take them down and encourage the big hand of government to do it for you. Be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right. right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, the convenient little, or the inconvenient little thorn in the paw of our political system here. Not, I just won't play ball, will I? I will not play ball with either one of the parties. It has got to be very aggravating to people that have invested their entire bodies, souls, and personalities into one party or the other. I do appreciate that. I apologize for my direct nature. This is Friday. Usually at this time, I do a segment called False Flag Friday. We're constantly lied into wars. These wars are not about American security or about your safety or anything like that. They are for the elites. Always have been, always will be. All wars are banker wars. This was Smedley Butler, the most decorated Marine back in the 1930s, who served the system and then realized, he woke up. As I say, sometimes when you wake up, you can't unlearn things. And Smedley Butler, this highly decorated hero Marine, realized what had been going on, and he wrote a big piece about it. If you haven't read War is a Racket, I encourage you to read it. Anyway, I want to get into the Minneapolis thing, so I'm going to break for the first time in, I don't know, maybe a couple of years now, that segment out. I wanted to touch on a couple of things real quickly, though. This is just kind of funny to me. I can't resist the urge to cover this. We hear a lot about the unsealed indictments in Washington, D.C., and I have held out hope, or did for a period of time, maybe back in 2017 into 2018, that these were piling up. At first it was 8 of them, and then it was 16 of them, and then it was 40 of them, and then it was 200 of them. And I think lately it's something like 14,000 sealed indictments, some ridiculous number like this, with the idea that people like Hillary Clinton and the Bush crime family, they were all going to go down. The deep state, they were going to go out there and, so all these indictments were just put, and we were going to have some kind of a big awakening where suddenly all of these establishment players that have been the nefarious actors behind the scene were going to be perp walked, and we were going to free our country from the deep state. So far, crickets on that. Now, they did unseal some indictments a few weeks ago, and I got all excited when I saw indictments unsealed. I said, this is it. Trump's making his move. And then it turned out to just be unsealed indictments against Venezuelan leaders for narco-terrorism. Well, they've unsealed some more indictments. It's time to get excited. Is the deep state going down? No. The administration ramps up the assault on Beijing as decoupling moves into hyperdrive. The Department of Justice on Thursday has unsealed an indictment against North Korean and Chinese nationals who are accused of operating a multi-billion-dollar money laundering scheme to help fund North Korea's nuclear weapons program. The indictment charges 28 North Koreans and 5 Chinese nationals of using a web of more than 200 shell companies to launder more than $2.6 billion in assets through the international banking system. That's according to New York Times. So there you go. You got some more unsealed indictments. Took down some North Koreans and some Chinese. Our deep state stays firmly intact to continue to do what they've been doing. I couldn't resist that one, but we'll get to I wanted to talk a little bit about this Minneapolis issue and this George Floyd thing, because I've got this little microphone out here in the bunker in Flora, Mississippi for a couple of hours a day, and I bring up some points that I hope are at least somewhat thought-provoking just to think about, and my take on this, some things that I don't think are covered. Obviously, the killing of this guy was brutal. It was on film. It was disgusting. Anybody who's not disgusted by that, there's enough video before that to show that this guy was not hopped up on PCP and manhandling people and overturning trucks all by himself with superhuman strength. He was already handcuffed. And the length of time that the police officer kneeled on the guy's neck was certainly excessive, to say the least. He will pay the penalty for that, I believe. The political pressure alone will make sure that that happens. So the killing is absolutely tragic. We move on from that pretty quickly. And I'll say this too. Look, police departments across the country, a lot of them in particular, have really allowed this kind of stuff to fester. This guy's had abuse complaints before. The thin blue line and the brotherhood of police is completely understandable. You know, in a lot of cases, and probably in a lot of particular inner city departments, you feel almost like a military unit. You know, you go out and you risk your lives every day. I got really close to some people in my fraternity just when we got hazed. As silly as that is, I kind of experienced what some of that bond is. I didn't serve in the military. I haven't served in law enforcement, so I understand it. But the bottom line is, when you see a bad officer, you need to get them out of your department, and they don't. They don't. And this has led to distrust. When you let this bad officer out over and over again, you foster a real problem between the community and the police themselves. The police, by allowing bad officers to continue to go out there and abuse people, you make all of the good officers in more danger. You lessen their safety out on the streets, which is just, it's inexplicable to me, but it is just, oh, this brotherhood, and police unions have done the same thing. Same thing that teachers' unions do. They go in and they find police officers that should be pulled out of departments like a cancer, and instead they are protected by the unions, by the brotherhood, by the thin blue line, and these problems will persist until that is busted. The same way that not being able to get rid of good teachers is dooming education as well. That's pretty easy to see. I did find it a little interesting, and this is something you will not hear nowhere else, but I found it a little interesting that this guy was accused of passing off a bad $20 bill. Now, that's no good. I ran bars back in the 90s and restaurants. I've done other work where I've taken in cash. I've been the victim. I mean, it's theft. You know, you give somebody something worthless for something of value. That's theft and deceit and forgery and all those good things. It was a $20 bill he was attempting to pass off, if that's true. I haven't really even found out if he was actually the perpetrator of it. They said he looked like the suspect. But even let's just assume that he actually did do that. I find it a little interesting, as bad as counterfeiting is to the businesses that accept bogus money, that, you know, they lose a product and they get something worthless. So it's, I understand it's bad. But it was $20 happening at the exact same time that the Federal Reserve has just done the same thing with tens of trillions of dollars over the last 11, 12 years. They are counterfeiting money. Now, they have been given the power to counterfeit money at an epic scale by those, by our air quotes here in the studio, leaders. They're given the magic printer. They destroy the value of your savings and have been destroying the middle class for decades. And they are lauded. Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve now, and Janet Yellen before her, and Ben Bernanke before her, and Alan Greenspan before him. Oh, they're trotted in the media. They ride around in the back of a limousine, and they're taken to press appearances, and they're given cocktail parties and all kinds of accolades. But they are destroying the value of your currency. This guy tried to pass off a $20 bill. He paid for it with his life. And this shows you kind of the different strata of society. And I'm not talking about race here. I'm talking about strata of society. That 0.01%. They can get away with counterfeiting on an unbelievable scale. And they're rewarded for it. But don't you dare counterfeit a $20 bill and try to buy yourself a pack of smokes and a six-pack of beer or whatever he was buying in a convenience store. Because you may die from that. And I think it's worth noting. If you think the Federal Reserve is doing anything more than just simply counterfeiting money and handing it off to their buddies and enriching them with it, then you don't understand what the Federal Reserve is doing. But there's a lot more. And, you know, I wrote a bunch of notes, but the bottom line is we have built a culture in this country through many things. Number one, we have over-regulated the American citizen through endless, endless laws. They say that you cannot get through a day without committing three felonies. I don't have that at my fingertips. I don't know exactly what those are. But there have been a lot of studies that show that each and every one of us break laws every day because they try to micromanage our society. When you have police officers that go out into the streets looking for the crimes to be committed, not protecting people, not looking for somebody in distress to help, which should be the first responsibility of the police. Look, I sleep good at night. I've talked very glowingly of the Madison Police Department when they've helped me, and I've talked very derogatorily about the Madison code enforcement officer who goes around looking for issues. Cops can be just absolutely fantastic in keeping some level of safety for the, you know, they should be serving us and keeping, and it's such a noble profession in that way. But when they're driving around trying to peer into your car to make sure you're wearing a seatbelt, that's a whole different mindset. when they pull you over for a broken taillight, and while they got you, they'd kind of like to get in and look around your car, and then they find a little cash. Well, wait a second. You got $3,000 cash in your console here. There's no reason for you to be driving with $3,000 cash in your car. That's more cash than anybody needs. This is actual conversations that go on around this country over the last 20, 30 years. It's called civil asset forfeiture, where they deem that you have too much cash, so they just take it. And then you have to go to court to fight to get it back. You have to prove that you didn't do something illegal. Do you see how on its head that makes the Constitution in this country? And we have tasked police with this. I don't even necessarily blame the cops. There are some bad police officers out there. But essentially, we've created this force, and we've, in the last couple of decades, militarized them. And we've sent them out there to enforce rules, not to save people, not to assist people, not to keep people safe, to enforce rules. The last I Can't Breathe death was Eric Garner, who had the audacity to sell loose cigarettes. See, you can't do that. You can't buy a pack of cigarettes at full value. I mean, you go in, you buy them, you pay the taxes on them, you do everything right. But then if you open that pack and sell them as loosies, as they call them, you then commit a crime. See, the cigarettes aren't really yours to resell as you see fit. This is what the cops harassed Eric Garner for, selling some loosey cigarettes. He paid for it with his life. And we have allowed this system to perpetuate. Whether it's seatbelt laws, loosey cigarette laws, civil asset forfeiture of just the suspicion of tainted cash, or the drug war itself, which is the greatest abomination that has turned entire communities, particularly in the inner cities, and I'm going to get into that when I come back from the break, has created a culture of us against them, and that's why you're seeing the riots right now. Now, I don't agree with the riots. And boy, is it dumb to tear down a business, and everybody who's making the arguments about how this is bad for Minneapolis and the neighborhoods that are being destroyed are actually hurting themselves and businesses will relocate and they're going to lose jobs. Every bit of that is right. But we have allowed the culture that spawns this kind of anger for decades. And it's going to continue as long as we continue to support these policies. I'm going to tell you about the system that's created the perfect storm that makes every inner city community in particular basically just a powder keg ready to explode. And when you stop and think about it, I have asked this several times and proposed doing this, a show where I just tell people to call in and tell me, name a problem in our society. I will tell you the government roots of it. And when you look at what happens to inner city communities that leads to the things we're seeing in Minneapolis right now, you will realize that government is at the nexus of all of it. It is the genesis of these problems. Government policies. It's not even really the people doing it. They hold responsibility. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to justify smashing into a Target and taking a television. There's no moral justification for that. But the system that has created people that feel the need to do it was created by some of the leaders of our society over decades and decades. I'll talk about that when I come back. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Like everything else, this George Floyd situation is getting everybody into their little camps. Republicans versus Democrats, conservative versus liberals, and everybody's looking at this. I was very heartened to hear a lot of conservative media really calling out this police officer and just admitting that what we saw with this knee on this guy's neck for that period of time until he died was just horrible, was just criminal. And I was really worried because a lot of times the law and order crowd just will not call out a bad player for fear of, you know, this whole idea that, well, I mean, there's a lot of good police. I mean, of course there's good police officers, but there's bad ones too. And I see so many times where we are scared to call out a bad action. And this was really drove home with me. I had a conversation with somebody online who was a police officer. I've talked about this before. There was a situation where there were a bunch of kids being rowdy in a parking lot. Young kids. They were having a pool party. I'm talking about 12 to 16 years old. Just being loud. And some people called and complained. A bunch of police officers showed up. There must have been 100 kids out there. And there were probably about 5 police officers out there. 4 of them came in and started talking to the kids. Hey, guys, y'all need to settle down a little bit. You're bothering some people. Acting completely normal. I mean, these were cops who were beautiful police officers. They were engaging with the kids. They weren't being overly dramatic. Then this one police officer gets out of his car. He starts flying around. He is running around screaming at these kids while the other 4 police officers are handling everything beautifully. The kids are starting to disperse. These are not thug kids. They were at a pool party, like kids out of school. This one cop comes running around. He's freaking out. Eventually, he's screaming at all these kids. Some little girl, she was 14 years old. She was wearing a bikini. She couldn't have been 5 feet tall. She smarted off to him. She probably said something really vulgar to him. He was running around like a chicken with his head cut off. I'm getting to a point. He body slammed this 14-year-old girl wearing a bikini into the pavement. Now, I'm sure she said something she should not have said. But he was the first one to really stir up everything again. Again, there were 4 other police officers there handling everything beautifully, taking care of the situation before this cop showed up. Now, the reason I bring this up is because I had a conversation online with somebody who was a police officer. He defended that cop. He said, that'll teach that girl to keep her mouth shut and respect the law. No, it didn't. It taught her to hate the police. For the rest of her life, she will hate the police. As will her family. As well, everybody was around her that watched her. She was 14 years old, 4'8", in a bikini. Didn't have a weapon. She wasn't a threat. She was body slammed into the pavement because she smarted off. And this is why sometimes I lose hope and say, you know, it's just people are just too entrenched in their ways. If that police officer will carry water for that guy in that video, that scares the crap out of me. Anyway, when you see these things happen in these big cities, we've got to look at the system that spawned this and look at the people, the air quotes here in the studio, leaders who have created a system of dependency and welfare and a police state and just failing education in some of these inner cities. And I ask yourself this, because I don't agree with anybody storming into a private business, smashing a window of someone who didn't do anything to them and stealing their stuff. That's obviously deplorable. But what do we expect? You take a child in these areas. You have them grow up in a house. Okay, so our dear leaders set up a system where you get paid more money if you don't keep your family together. If you're going to be on federal assistance, you make more money. You'll be better off if you don't have an intact family. So there's the first thing. Now you've got parents, single parents out there trying to work jobs, and the jobs are sparse. We've hollowed out our manufacturing core in this country. Again, this is Americans didn't ship these jobs somewhere else. Our leaders sat back and watched this happen and took the contributions from the companies who went for cheap labor. Now look, I'm for, you know, if a company wants to find cheaper labor somewhere, that's fine. But you hollow out all of the jobs out of these areas, you put the people on dependency, then you get this kid that's born into that, born into the welfare system that was set up by our policymakers. The parents didn't go out there and say, give me something. No, a bunch of pandering politicians went out there and said, we're going to give you something. And then the child is thrust into schools where they give them no marketable skills, none whatsoever. Don't teach them how to think at all. You got a Department of Education that encourages social promotion through school. You don't have to learn anything to go from the 3rd to the 4th to the 5th to the 7th to the 9th to the 12th to graduate high school. You don't have to learn anything. You're just going to move through because your age, because the clock is ticking. Then you put this kid out onto the streets with no marketable skills whatsoever. You've failed them through the education system. You've failed them through the economic system. And then you put them out on the streets at 19 years old and say, go out there and be productive citizens. Now, I've said many times, a lot of people look at this, and even when I see gangbangers, and this is the same for white and black communities. It's just we're looking at this as a race issue. I look at gangbangers, and I think that would probably be me. A lot of us like to think we're so special that if we were born in hard circumstances, we would have been that person that lifted ourselves up by our bootstraps and went out and was a productive member of society. I can't tell you that about me. I don't know. If I didn't have a parent that stressed education, my parents are the reason I am what I am. It has nothing to do with me. I'm nothing special. I'm a product of my environment. And our leadership has set up bad environment after bad environment. Now, I know there's a lot of talk about this. Well, these are all Democrat-run cities and Democrat this and Democrat that. There's some merit to that, but I don't know what the chicken and the egg is there. How did that really start happening? And I'm sure there's people smarter than me that will be able to tell it to me, and I really kind of want to explore that. I would tell the black community, not that I have any standing to tell black community anything, you're on your own. Politicians don't care about you. They don't care about whites either. I mean, we're all on our own. We just fail to realize it. I don't care if you're right, left, conservative, liberal, black, white, Republican, or Democrat. You're on your own. You're given lip service that these people want to help you, but they don't care. They are self-serving. They harvest you for your money through taxation and contributions, and they harvest you for your vote. And then they don't give a crap. The rest of the time is spent self-dealing to themselves. Politicians, black, white, Republican, Democrat. That's what they do. They're politicians. But when I see these riots, I mean, I got to tell you, this is what the system has spawned. And you can tamp down this riot and hopefully cooler heads will prevail. It's going to happen again and again. It's going to get worse. Each time it's going to get worse. There's so many systemic problems, but it is all at the hands of government. The problems within the police departments, the fact that so many people are subject to so many rules and regulations that you've got police out there looking for infractions to try to get somebody involved in the system. Oh, boy. And then you get that 19-year-old out of school with no marketable skills, and then you find him with a plant in his pocket, and you lock him up and give him a criminal record, which just assures any chances he did have of getting a job or a stable way of life is ended. So we can appease this idea that we're fighting drugs. Doesn't work. Just destroys futures. Should be treated as a medical issue, not a law enforcement issue. But this whole situation is spawned from every level of government, from the federal government down to the local governments. And yet we keep thinking, who's going to solve it? Anyone? Oh, we'll get the government to solve it. If we just elect some more politicians who go on the campaign trail and tell us they're going to fix this, that'll fix it. Now, we've been trying that for 100 years, and it keeps getting worse. The system spawns these things. The individual actors that are going on in these riots, the individual actor of that police officer, they're responsible for their own actions. That police officer needs to be held accountable, and I think he will be. And people who are caught smashing in a window and grabbing a television that doesn't belong to them, they need to be held accountable too, and some of them will. But you're just playing whack-a-mole if you pay attention to the perpetrators in these things and don't understand that cop has a mentality basically that he's on the streets of Fallujah because our policies have made the police officers in a situation where they are looking for crimes to be committed, not out trying to protect people. And they've poisoned their relationship, particularly in these big cities, with the people. And that makes it more dangerous for the police. But this is all spawned at the government level, at every level. And picking on the players and pointing out who did something right here or wrong there and ignoring the systemic problems that have led to this for the last 40 or 50 years just assures it'll happen again. Be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're going to lighten it up a little bit. Heading into a weekend on every Friday, I like to kind of I try to find some kind of funny things. I think I've got some funny clips from the lunacy of the last week. There's always plenty of it to be had. Some of them funny, some of them just aggravating. Here is Illinois, as we're still in the grips of COVID, and oh, the media is so excited. We finally crossed that 100,000 number. They gave them something to talk about. Every broadcast has the faces of the victims behind them. New York Times publishes, 1,000 names? Oh, they're so excited to show you how terrible this was. Ignore the fact that they originally said 2.2 million. I mean, and it's tragic. I'm not belittling anybody who suffered from this thing. And died from it. The question is, how many people did actually die from coronavirus? Was it 100,000? This is the Department of Health Department in Illinois.
The numbers are sobering and dizzying.
This is kind of like the fog of war. It's really hard to tell exactly what's happening in the middle of a pandemic.
The state admits it's at the mercy of local officials, including doctors, hospitals, and coroners, for information about COVID-related deaths.
Everybody who has COVID at the time that they die will be counted as a COVID death by the health department because there's no other way for them to make up statistics properly. Almost everyone that has passed away with COVID died largely because of the COVID or because of complications that the COVID may have brought on.
That COVID made me wreck my car and crash and die. Do you see this? I'm going to play every one of these clips I can find. They are throwing anybody who has COVID at the time of death is a COVID death. Car accident. Breast cancer, heart attack, you got COVID, you're a COVID death. Don't believe the numbers. Oh, that is so aggravating. Oh, it's so sickening. We will never know the truth about this. This is NBC talking about the new normal. I want you to hear what they're doing for school kids.
Across the country in Vegas, casinos are rolling the dice on opening their doors next week. While around Los Angeles today, some shops got back to business for the first time in months.
To get to Nordstrom's.
Yeah. The nation's second largest school district is working on its plan to bring children back to campus in LA. It could include 16 kids to a classroom, children eating their lunch at their own desks, every child being given one ball to play alone, and staggered school days.
Oh my God. Here you go, kid. Here's your ball. Now go over there. Go over there and play by yourself. This is the new school year in the days of coronavirus hysteria. This was an interesting exchange. This was on CNBC, and I think this is a perfect encapsulation. This is America in a nutshell in the time of coronavirus.
You panicked about the market, panicked about COVID, panicked about the ventilators, panicked about the PPE, panicked about ever going out again, panicked that we'd ever get back to normal.
Joseph, you didn't panic
about
anything.
What good is that? What good is it? Why not? Why not help
people die?
Keep their head. I understand that.
100,000 people died, Joe, and all you did was try to help your friend, the president. That's what you did. Every single morning on this show. Every single morning on this show, you abused and abused your position, Joe.
That's totally unfair.
You abused and abused your position.
I'm trying to help investors keep their cool, keep their heads. And as it turned out, that's what they should have done. That's what they should have done. They should have kept their heads. If they had listened to you, Andrew, we're supposed to be at about 8,000.
I wasn't arguing to go sell your stocks, Joseph. I was arguing about people's lives.
We understand.
People's lives.
Andrew, it's a global pandemic.
Do the news. I'm begging you to do the news, Joseph.
It's a global pandemic.
I'm begging you.
Andy.
Please.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, America in a nutshell. That almost sounds like reading from a Twitter comments segment, like a live read of it. Everybody's screaming at each other. Oh, my gosh. Here is, we got some good Joe Biden stuff here. This is another, I have said before, Joe Biden has the worst audio. Half the time he goes out and his audio people hate his guts. His video people are not much better. But even his basement technical crew hates him as well. This is the guy who wants to be president of the United States with another one of his top-notch broadcasts from the basement.
As we speak today, more than 90,000 Americans have now lost their lives with this pandemic. Scale of the loss is staggering. I don't know whose phone that is, but the scale of the loss is staggering.
I don't know whose phone that is. Yeah, it's one thing when you know, tiny little show host out here in Florida, Mississippi. I've done that a couple times on my radio show, but I'm not trying to be president of the United States. Here's another one. Here's another top-notch Joe Biden production from his, you know, they did let him out of the basement after a period of time. I think he did one from the kitchen, and then occasionally they even let him get outside.
Donald Trump has been cruelly and senselessly determined to roll back that progress. And we're going to stop him in his tracks. Together, we're going to take back the White House together and assure that our government wants to.
Now, first of all, before we get to the funniest part of this, the guy sounds like he just woke him up from a nap. I mean, you want to talk about low energy. Holy crap. Donald Trump is going to abuse this guy if this is what he brings to the table. He sounds like he's almost asleep. And then there was this.
And reflects the full diversity of the AAPI community and our country as a whole, including my cabinet. We're going to build on the progress we've made to deliver for this community on health care, on climate, on building an economy that leaves no one behind. Right now, we're in the midst of a tragedy on so many levels. And the pain, we all know from family members and friends, is so stark, so consuming. It can be hard to see anything beyond that pain.
I thought it was the geese got cranked up again towards the end. What cracked me up about that is it sounds to me, as a matter of fact, let me see, I'm going to play that again. I'll play the beginning of this one again. Does it not sound like the geese are actually laughing at Joe Biden?
Donald Trump has been cruelly and senselessly determined to roll back that progress. And we're going to stop him in his tracks. Together, we're going to take back the White House together and ensure that our government once again reflects the full diversity of the AAPI community and our country.
It sounds to me like when he says he's going to take back the White House and go into his low energy presentation that the geese even think it's funny. This was really weird. You know, there was a lot of talk about when Biden went on Charlemagne the God show and he did his famous, if you're trying to decide between me and Trump, you ain't black. What I found even more entertaining about that interview, and this is something that Joe Biden does, and I don't know how this is effective. Now, I'll be completely honest and say there's a lot of times I get on the show and get angry and really try to poke and prod people. I'm trying to get you to think, but it may come across as obnoxious. I'm aware of my own failings. But this is a guy, again, this is a guy running for president. And he has this style where when he's even talking to a friendly crowd, he sounds like he's arguing with them. I mean, they can be having a normal conversation on things they agree with, but he's just listen to him talk to. This is earlier in the interview with Charlemagne. He sounds like he's defending himself or lashing out when he's really just having a normal conversation.
A lot of black voters, including myself, feel, and that's that Democrats take black voters for granted.
I want a larger share of the black vote than anybody has.
Hey, black community feels like their votes might be he just tears into it. I mean, Joe, what are you doing? This guy's he's being nice to you. Calm down.
Including Barack. They're the folks, as they say it my way, brung me to the dance. That's how I got elected.
We had Hillary on a few years ago, and Ms. Clinton said that the crime bill, we made a lot of mistakes with that, and she wanted to atone for that by becoming the next president. Like,
she was wrong. What happened was it wasn't the crime bill. It was the drug legislation.
Thank you so much. That's really our time. I apologize.
You can't do that to black media.
I can't do that to white media and black media because my wife has to go on at 6 o'clock.
Listen, you got
again, this is a guy running for president. He's running, you know, 50% of the campaign for the president of the strongest country on earth. They don't have two crews. They can't do in their house an interview in one room and then set up a second camera crew in another room. They got to share a video set up. Anyway, we'll go ahead and let this play out just because it's so darn funny.
Got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
I thought it cuts off. I thought it got to the, if you're trying to decide between me and Trump. But he's so combative. Even in a friendly audience, he is the grumpiest thing I've ever heard. Let's see what we can get to. I got a few. I guess I'll go ahead and take a break and then finish up with these clips. I'll look back at the week on the lunatic left as it's kind of panning out to be. Stay with me. All night
with Fred King. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Final segment for the week. Heading into a weekend. Do weekends matter again? They should start mattering again. More people should be back to work. I guess if you got kids at the house, though, maybe it's just Groundhog Day. Ooh, this is one long summer break. You're never going to see kids so excited to go back to school as they will be in September. Barring the second wave. Ooh, we're all going to die. I want to remind everybody this weekend, when you're looking for something to do or you just want some good food any night of the week, we recommend you head out and check out, if you have not, Your Pie out in Gluckstadt. They're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Fantastic food and a fantastic establishment with a great staff and veteran-owned 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas made the way you want them right in front of you. You want a little bit extra cheese. You don't want so much of one thing or another. You get to make it the way you want it. End the tyranny of the children picking out the pizza toppings. They also have paninis and pastas, salads. They got beers out there. They got televisions. If there's, I think the sporting events seem to be kind of sticking their nose under the tent again. So if you want to go out there and check a game, or I like sitting out on their little deck. But either way, look, you need to check out Your Pie. If you can't get out there, they're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway in Gluckstadt, right by Germantown High School. If you can't get there, but you want their food, you can download the Waiter app and look for Your Pie. You can also get their app. If you get their app, there's all kinds of specials. You get, you know, free items or discounted items. You get points for free things down the road. It's the thing to do now. So get the Your Pie app, and you can check out their menu and stuff, too. They also do catering. So if you need a group fed, then Your Pie is a great place for that, too. But please check them out. Like I say, it's a veteran-owned business trying to get through this tough time. We need to support these local businesses, local people trying to make it happen. All right. I wanted to point something out. And I look back at the last week. There's a lot of talk about censorship and all this with the Twitter things that we've covered here endlessly. I want you to be able to spot something else, too. It's called a native ad. Native ads are when the news broadcast and the great journalism and journalistic integrity that they have, they try to present an advertisement to you like a news story. Now, in newspapers, they usually have to put advertisement. Now, let me just tell you, what I just did for Your Pie, that's an advertisement. Pretty apparent, right? They're sponsors of this radio station. They're great business. I want you to go see them. But sometimes they try to present things as news stories that are actually ads. And you need to learn to be able to spot these. When you can spot these, you'll see them everywhere.
Millions of Americans staying at home are relying on Amazon.
Millions of Americans staying at home are relying on Amazon.
Millions of Americans.
This is taking you through the landscape of local reporting across the country as they all, once again, have the exact same script. I'll tell you who wrote it in just a second if it's not in the story.
And staying at home are relying on Amazon.
Millions of Americans staying at home are relying on Amazon.
Amazon has transformed its operations in response to COVID-19 to protect employees and keep packages flowing.
Amazon has transformed its operations in response to COVID-19 to protect employees and keep packages flowing.
The company is keeping its employees safe and healthy while still delivering those packages to your doorstep.
The company is keeping employees safe and healthy.
The company is keeping its employees safe and healthy.
The company is keeping its employees safe and healthy.
The company is keeping its employees safe and healthy.
The company is keeping its employees safe and healthy.
The company is keeping its employees safe and healthy.
The company is keeping
keeping its employees safe and healthy.
It spent $800 million on increased wages and overtime pay during the pandemic.
It has spent $800 million on increased wages and overtime pay during the pandemic.
It has spent $800 million on increased wages and overtime pay during the pandemic.
It has spent $800 million on increased wages and overtime pay during the pandemic.
Amazon says it has spent $800 million on increased wages and overtime pay during the pandemic.
Every single one of Amazon's workforce of nearly a million people has played a critical role in making these changes happen.
I hope that they feel that passion that we have for safety.
So they can stay safe and healthy while you do too.
So there you go. And you'll see these all over the place. This was written. This was basically an Amazon press release about how what a great company they are. This was put out across mainstream media as a news story, just kind of in the idea of reporting on the pandemic. Here's an interesting one. In the day of mail-in ballots, this is one from the Wayback Machine that is worth listening to. This is Democratic operative and real bad player, real nasty woman, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, just a few years ago talking about mail-in ballots.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz argues a mail-in ballot has wrong written all over it.
What?
It'd be a risky experiment for us with an election that has stakes as high as a presidential election does. We've never done a mail-in ballot statewide.
Wasserman Schultz is worried about signature fraud, disenfranchising
what?
College students,
what?
Getting addresses wrong,
what?
And having private donors instead of states footing the bill.
What?
She favors seating the delegates already chosen.
But there's a way to solve this without totally redoing this and causing more chaos.
Yeah, there you go. That was Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She's singing a different tune now. Real quick, I just thought this is a short one. This is a Nancy Pelosi explaining government to you if you really need a lesson.
Equal, separate but equal separation of power, one branch of government, a check on the other. But one or the other is appointed by the third branch, is appointed by the second branch. Then we'll just have to see how that turns out.
There's Nancy Pelosi explaining how government works. I actually understand it less than before she started speaking. Anyway, lots of craziness going on, but get out there, enjoy your family, enjoy the weekend. Should have some decent weather. Check out Yurpie out there in Gluckstadt. We really want you to see them, and I will see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.